2 Kings chapter 21, verse 10, and also as a companion text, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24. I do want to express my gratitude for the privilege of being here during these nights. Thank you so much for the invitation. I know that there are thousands of Baptist preachers that Brother Moneyham and this camp meeting could have called, but I feel honored and blessed of the Lord to have this privilege. Thank you so much for allowing me to be a part of this meeting. And I appreciate your presence in the service this evening. It is good to see all of you, of course, but it's especially good to see Brother Ed McAbee, Dr. Ed McAbee. But he's been Brother Ed to me for many years. I think when I was 16 years old, I preached a meeting for Brother Ed at Northside in Gaffney. But I appreciate this dear man of God, whom God has used across this country and other countries. And it's a great honor to have you in the service tonight. And we certainly do appreciate all of you men of God being a part of this service. I know that there are many places that you could have been and things that are necessary to do sometimes. But we're grateful that God has gathered us in this place tonight. And it is certainly a great honor to stand where all these great men of God have stood and still stand, Even in this day. But thank you so much for allowing me to be a part of this service. 2 Kings chapter 21, verse 10. And the Lord spake by his servants, the prophets, saying, because Manasseh, king of Judah, hath done these abominations, and hath done wickedly above all that the Amorites did, which were before him, and hath made Judah also to sin with his idols. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, behold, I am bringing such evil upon Jerusalem and Judah, that whosoever heareth of it, both his ears shall tingle. And I will stretch over Jerusalem the lion of Samaria, and the plummet of the house of Ahab. And I will wipe Jerusalem as a man wipeth a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down. And I will forsake the remnant of mine inheritance, and deliver them into the hand of their enemies. And they shall become a prey and a spoil to all their enemies, because they have done that which was evil in my sight, and have provoked me to anger since the day their fathers came forth out of Egypt, even unto this day. Moreover, Manasseh shed innocent blood very much, till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another, beside his sin, wherewith he made Judah to sin, in doing that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. And then our companion text, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Let's bow our heads again, please, while we pray. Our Father, we bow in your presence. I come first to ask you to forgive me, to cleanse me of every sin, every word, every thought, every action, every attitude, everything about me that's unchristlike or becoming as a child of God. I pray that you'll cleanse me. Lord, thou hast said that you cannot hear us if we regard iniquity in our heart. And I pray that nothing shall be between my soul and thee. Thank you for this privilege to be in this camp meeting. Thank you for its testimony all these years. And thank you, Lord, for what you've done in the past, and we rejoice in what you're doing now. Thank you for these dear men of God. I pray that you'll bless them in their respective places of service. Pray for Brother Moneyham, Lord, that you'll give him wisdom and leadership and special anointing as he leads these services. Thank you for Brother Burns, and I thank you, Lord, for his love for thee. And I pray, God, that you'll just help us that our hearts may be united to worship you and to seek you. I pray that you'll be pleased to touch thy servant. Give me that special anointing. Illuminate my mind. Loose my tongue. And may the word go forth in its power, Encourage the people of God, the saints, and edify your church. Lord, should there be those among us tonight that are strangers to your grace, that have never been to Calvary by faith, I pray that this will be there. They lay down their arms of rebellion to find mercy and grace with the Lord. I pray, dear Jesus, tonight, you'll help us to travel the divine distance you want to take us. And when this service is over, may we be aware that God has spoken to us and that God has said something to our hearts. We love you because you first loved us and gave yourself for us. In the name that's above every name, the name of our blessed, blood-stained Redeemer, I pray, amen. I want to speak to you tonight as we look at these verses, consider the verses that I read from 2 Kings 21 and also 1 Peter 1, 24 and 25. I want to speak to you about a world without a Bible. This is God's book, subject to an onslaught of infidelity and liberalism. Now, I don't have to remind you that the forces of evil are allied together to destroy the Bible, from the pulpit to the political platform. Imagine what kind of world this would be without a Bible. But the verses that I've read to you in 2 Kings chapter 21 during the reign of Manasseh describes exactly a world without a Bible. The scripture gives us the answer. For 75 years, Israel had no book. The worship of God was turned to the worship of devils. Solomon's temple was replaced with altars to false gods. And so God intervened in terrible judgment. God said because of their sin that He would wipe Jerusalem as a man wiping a plate and then turn it upside down would wipe it. And these verses describe a world without a Bible. You think about a preacher without a Bible, a church without a Bible. Imagine a place, a church without a Bible. Of course, you don't have to imagine too much because that is the reality in some places. There are places I fear that all you need is just a copy of a current magazine rather than the Word of God. But consider what this world would be like without the Word, without the everlasting Word of God. It's necessary just to look at history past. You think about the pagan world that was steeped in sin and darkness so deep that it seemed that no light could penetrate. An ocean full of cruelty, murder, and malice, and the most filthy sins imaginable. It was a world without a Bible. And then came along the Apostle Paul, who preached grace to the Gentiles, carried the torch of truth throughout the Holy Land. He brought the gospel to Asia, Spain, and parts of Africa. Down came the temples of idolatry. But soon gospel preaching was replaced by superstition. And the breaking of bread, the simple breaking of bread, became the mass. The Bible was banished. The Pope had chained the Word of God up at the Vatican and forbidden any man to read it. But I remind you, of course, that during that time, there were the Anabaptists. God's always had His witness in this world. But the known world was given to superstitious religion. I had the privilege once to go by Wittenberg, Germany, and see the church where Martin Luther nailed up his 95 theses. This monk was reading one day, "The just shall live by faith." And the light of God broke into his soul. Martin Luther nailed up his 95 theses and said, "I want to say it every pope in hell and out of hell. The just shall live by faith." And the mighty Reformation was on. The Word of God makes the eternal difference. And so we consider His Word, the wonder of the Word. It's divine authority.
The Bible has a vast, saith the Lord, authority. The Bible is our standard. The Bible is our criteria. We measure all knowledge by the Bible. Now, it's not that our emotions must condone the Bible, but rather the Bible must control our emotions. The Bible is the Word of God. And the church needs to be approved by the Bible. It is not the Bible approved by the church that gives it its authority. It is the Word of the Lord. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my Word shall not pass away. It's divine authority. Our feelings rise and fall, but the Word of God is eternal. Whether men receive it, believe it, or accept it, it is the everlasting Word. Men may refuse it, reject it, but it is this book that one day is going to judge the world in righteousness by that man, Christ Jesus. And then consider the consistent unity of the Bible. The Bible consists of 66 books written by over 40 different authors over a period of 1,500 years. They were diverse in social conditions. Some were fishermen. Some were sovereigns. Some were conquerors. Some were shepherds, priests, physicians, poets. But yet none denounced or criticized the writings of the other. And 1,500 years passed between these different writers. There's only one explanation. This is a divine book written by one author. These men were moved on by the Holy Ghost. And it was the Spirit of God who literally filled their minds, who guided their hands. This is God's book. And all these words come together. No prophet discounted the other. No writer discounted the other. But it is all one book of unity. It is the everlasting Word. And then consider its complete infallibility. All other books become obsolete, but not the Bible. Now you can read a book, a biography maybe, and you might read it a second time. But it soon, of course, loses its attraction. Not so with the book. Every day there is fresh manna from the book. He doesn't serve warmed over bread. His mercies are new every morning. This book is always fresh. This book to the child of God always speaks to our heart. This book brings life because it is the eternal Word of God. Other books become obsolete, but not the Bible. I've had the privilege to go by the Louvre Museum in Paris. And that museum stretches for miles, it seems. And back in 1965, it was estimated that there were 3.5 miles of science books that were out of date. But not so with this book. It is the Word of God, even after all these years, because it shall not pass away. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my Word shall not pass away. The Bible is the eternal Word of God. Now, while science books become obsolete, not the Bible. Here are the days of Moses. Moses was the land of great learning, a great land of great universities, temples and pyramids. It was not like it is today, a land of much ignorance and barrenness. But in the days of Moses, it was one of the wonders of the world. Moses was educated in all the wisdom of Egypt. He knew about the latest scientific theories and discoveries. Archaeologists have dug up some things that the Egyptians believed during the days of Moses. And the scientists believed and taught in Moses' day. For example, in the days of Moses, scientists of that day taught that this earth was hatched out of a great cosmic egg. But when I turn to the Bible, expected to read about some gigantic egg flying through space. I read nothing of the kind. But I do read that in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. They were taught in Moses' day that man evolved from little white worms, and that man came into existence as a result of being bred by little white worms. But when you turn to the book of God, you don't find anything about man coming from little white worms. But you do find that God said, let us make man in our own image. And then God breathed into man's nostril the breath of life. This is God's eternal word. It's internal, eternal, indestructibility. Isaiah 40 verse 8 says, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. The fire is yet to be lit that can destroy it. The steel is yet to be forged that can scar it. The weapon is yet to be devised that can overthrow it. The scholarship has yet to be developed that can discredit it. The science has yet to be created that can demolish it. The plan is yet to be devised that can annihilate it. It is the eternal, infallible Word of God, and it shall stand forever. It is God's Word. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but His Word is eternal. The Word of God has power to penetrate. It's like a hammer. It's like fire. It is light, supernatural in its origin, divine in authorship, human in penmanship, immeasurable in power, inspired in totality, inexhaustive in adequacy, infallible in authority, universal in interest, infinite in scope, personal in application, but eternal in duration. It is the Word of God. It is eternally indestructible. I am Haldeman, pastor of the Calvary Baptist Church in New York City in the late 1800s, said this of this self-elected scholarship trying to discredit the Bible, the Word of God. I am Haldeman said again and again, the funeral services of the Bible are offered and held. Kind and condescending eulogies are offered over its past history and good intent. With considerate hands, it is lowered into the grave. But before the people, the mourners have returned to their home, it has arisen. And it outpasses the funeral coaches. Woo! And is found in the busy centers of life, offering consolation to the suffering, hope to the dying, and salvation for the sinner. This is God's Word. It is eternal. Then we consider the Word of God. A world without a Bible. A world without a Bible would be a world without illumination. You put the light out when you destroy the Bible. There's no revelation without the Bible. Every man must answer the question, every person, where did I come from? What am I doing here? And where am I going when I die? There's only one book that has the answer. It is the Word of God. Where did I come from? Hebrews 11 says, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. The liberals might not know, but we know. We understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. And the only answer to these questions is the Word of God. Paganism, socialism, humanism cannot answer the questions. Where did I come from? What am I doing here? Where am I going when I die? The only reliable answer is the Word. Now evolutionists say, I read once, an evolutionist said that a horse was once the size of a fox terrier. and it grew to the size of a horse. Whales used to be the size of cows. But if that's true, I wonder what size a little flea used to be. And then there are those that tell us that man evolves from some amoeba out in the pond. I read once that one evolutionist said that on that amoeba there were freckles. And through the process of time, those freckles being exposed to the sunlight became eyeballs. I think that's amazing. But I tell you, if I really believe that, and I had freckles all over me, under heaven, I'd be afraid to get out in the sun. I'd be afraid to break out an eyeball. The only answer to the question, where did I come from? What am I doing here? Where am I going when I die? Is the word of God. Thank God I found the answer. I know why He saved me. And when I die, I know that as soon as my eyes are closed in death, thank God I shall arrive in Emmanuel's land. Where did I come from? What am I doing here? Where am I going when I die? Oh, in the book. I found the answer. In the book. The Bible is the source of natural light. It is the source of spiritual light. Of natural light. God's the author. Genesis 1:3. God said, let there be light. And there was light. Psalm 8:3. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Just a few days ago, I went past the Space Center in Huntsville, Alabama. I was there once in a meeting, and one morning I went out to the Space Center. At that time, there was a large three-story screen, and they showed a video that had been filmed from one of the space shuttles from outer space. As I looked at that film, thought about Earth and the Lord of Heaven, who robed Himself with the universe, who sat on His feet with the stars, came down the stairway of heaven and lived in body 33 and a half years and took my sins and nailed them to the cross. I could not help the tears streaming down my face when I thought about what is man. That thou art mindful of him, or the Son of Man, that thou visitest him. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. He is the source of natural light. He is the source of spiritual light. Psalm 119:105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Ephesians 5:8. But now you were once in darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Live as children of light. 1 John 1:5, God is light. In Him there's no darkness at all. 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of God or the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness unto him. Neither can they know them. They're spiritually discerned. 2 Corinthians 4:4, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them. But thank God for the heavenly light that invaded our soul, made us to see ourselves as sinners, and brought us immediately to the cross. And there, through the blood of Jesus Christ, we're born into the family of God. The natural man receiveth not the things of God. They're foolishness to them, and they cannot understand. But if God has saved you, there's spiritual light in your heart. A world without a Bible would be a world without inspiration. What can a person hope for if he's not read the book, the scriptures? If he's not been instructed in the revelation of God? If you do not know the plan and the purpose of God, then you're in the darkness. But I'm grateful for the book that describes even these last days, that describes all that we shall endure as the people of God. And it also encourages us from the truth that Jesus may come at any moment. Amen. The nature of the wickedness of the last days are no surprise because we have the Bible. We read it in the Bible. We know that perilous times shall come. And as a matter of fact, I think that perilous times have come. And if we're not living in perilous times, I don't think I want to be here when they arrive. But God has shined His wonderful light in our heart. We're not children of the night. We're children of the day. And we walk in the light of the Lord through His Word. Everything that I know about God, I've learned from this book. As a matter of fact, everything that God has said in this book has come to pass, or shall come to pass. Isaiah 7:14 example. Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel. Imagine as Isaiah was writing that, he might have thought to himself, surely I didn't get that right. Whoever heard of a virgin conceiving and bearing a son? But the Holy Ghost said, put it down, just like I said. Hundreds of years passed. I imagine another scribe looking at the words of Isaiah and thinking to himself, Isaiah must have been getting old. He must have had hardening of the arteries. Whoever heard of a virgin conceiving and bearing a son? But the Holy Ghost said, put it down, just like Isaiah's written. But one blessed starry night, out from the little town of Bethlehem, an angel who got his training in eternity and his theology at the steps of the throne, suddenly he was born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Every prophecy concerning Jesus Christ has come to pass and will come to pass in regards to His return. Everything that I know about my blessed Lord, I've learned from the book. Last week marked the 57th year of preaching the gospel. I preached the first revival 57 years ago as a 12-year-old boy. And I want to say that this blessed gospel story is more precious to me tonight than it was then. And I still stand amazed that God would have saved me in the first place and given me the glorious privilege of preaching the gospel. And it is a privilege to have a part in the kingdom of God and in the service of God. But everything I've learned about my Lord through these years has been from this blessed book. If you know something about Jesus that's not consistent with the Bible, you have the wrong information. We take a backward flight of over 2,000 years of gospel preaching. I break the barrier that separates time from eternity. And we enter the realm of infinity. Before angels were created, our worlds were made. And in the silence of eternity past, I ask the question the lover in the Song of Solomon asked, saw ye Him whom my soul loveth? And God, the Father of eternity, says, yes, I've seen Him. Yes. And we return back to the first day of newborn time and ask the watchman of eternity, saw ye Him whom my soul loveth? And the watchman of eternity says, yes, I've seen Him. I've heard Him call for night. I have seen Him fashion the sun for the day and appoint the moon for the night. I have seen Him fling the stars out into space as a jeweler would fling diamonds out on a black cloth. I have seen Him born of a virgin. I have seen Him in the shadows of Gethsemane when His sweat became His great drops of blood. I have seen Him in Pilate's judgment hall, smitten and stricken. I have seen Him bent over the scourger's post and the scourger's whip, plowing through His sacred body. I have seen them strip Him of His raiment, nail Him to the cross. I've heard Him cry, it is finished. I have seen the soldier pierce the sword into His side and outpoured blood and water. I've seen him placed in Joseph's barred tomb. But I've watched him on the third morning get up out of the grave and weigh in the keys of death and hell in the victor's devil's face and say, I'm alive forever. I have seen him after 40 days ascend up to heaven. I've watched him enter into the Emmanuel's land, the land of Beulah. I've watched him walk down Hosanna Highway, cross Amen Square, walk up Hallelujah Boulevard, and on the throne of God at the right hand, enthrone himself as the one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Everything I know about Christ, I have learned from this book. A world without a Bible will be a world without consolation. How blessed are the words of the Bible. And politicians talk about more and more of less and less and say nothing and much of that. How wonderful it is to have a book that we can rely on as sure, absolutely correct. The Bible is the only book that can make the death room bright. Years ago, man was a member of the church that I pastored, was in Durham, North Carolina, and found out that he had terminal cancer, just a matter of weeks, maybe even days. So I went to visit him. I dreaded it. I knew that he just learned the day before that he had a terminal cancer. And Brother Scott, I just dreaded to have to face him. But you know what the first words he said to me, Brother Ed, were? Tears streaming down his face. He said, Brother Larry, I just read where Jesus said, I am the resurrection. Yeah. He that believeth in me, though I were dead, yet shall he live again. He got that out of the book. Amen. This is the only book that can make the death room bright. Amen. I visited the home of Sir Walter Scott in Scotland and saw his great library. And Sir Walter Scott was dying. He said to the servant, one of the servants, bring me the book. His servant came back in a little while and said, what do you mean bring you the book? There are thousands of books. And Sir Walter Scott said, young man, there's but one book. Bring me the book. Amen. And he brought him the blessed word of God. Yes. This is the only book that can strike light and hope. Amen. Out of the cemetery. Amen. A world without a Bible will be a world without consolation. Oh, and when the man of God or whoever tries to comfort those who have lost loved ones, if our only comfort was a book of poetry written by a poet, how sad it would be. But I'm so grateful we have the book. Amen. And we can tell people whose hearts are broken that there's hope. Amen. There's hope through the book. Amen. Thank God for the Bible. Amen. Wonderful words. Words of life that teach me faith and duty. Thank God for the everlasting word of God. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word, Lord, shall not pass away. Lastly, a world without a Bible will be a world without salvation. The Bible is the handbook of redemption. This is the only book to find out the way to heaven and the way of salvation. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto me except by the Father. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. The Bible is our handbook of redemption. Jesus said, these things have I written unto you, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. I base salvation on not my feelings, not that I saw some light or that I had a dream, but I base my salvation on the work of the cross. Thank God I've been to Calvary. I had the privilege to stand once on Calvary when it was possible many years ago. I thought as I stood there, I've been here before. I was here before the foundation of the world, for I was in the mind and the heart of God. I was here on April 15, 1958 as a 9-year-old boy when I went to Calvary by faith. And now I stand here personally and literally, thank God, I've been to Calvary and I've a salvation based on this book, based on the work of the cross, based on the Word of God. These things have I written unto you that ye may know that ye have eternal life. I base it on the witness of the Spirit of the living God. I can call God Abba Father, my Father. World without a Bible would be a world without consolation. Imagine some native down in, on some South Sea island. He's just been eating a diabolical meal of flesh. He's a cannibal. If you land on his shore and he catches you, he'll eat you too. But if a missionary preaches the gospel of grace to that sinner, and he believes, the Holy Ghost awakens his heart, that old cannibal will lay down his spear and say, "All glory to the Lamb. I now believe in Jesus." I think about Brother Darrell Champlin, a missionary in Suriname on the Amazon for many years. And he was telling about going down the Amazon River one Christmas Eve. And in the distance, there had been a cannibalistic tribe. But the Lord had saved many of them. And many of them were converted. He said as they went down the Amazon River that cold night, they heard in the distance that once heathen tribe not repeating their diabolical demonic chants, but in their own language, they were singing "Amazing Grace." Woo! How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Thank God for the power of the Word. It still is the power of God. It is the Holy Ghost who uses the Word to bring men from darkness to light and from the depths of sin and out of the miry clay. Everything that I have in my heart that brings peace, I've received from the Word. Precious book. Book divine. What a treasure thou art mine. Holy book. Book design. Precious treasure, thou art mine. Mine to tell me whence I came, and mine to tell me what I am. Somebody says, but salvation is just a myth. But it is written. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners. Someone says, but my heart is too black to be cleansed from sin. But it is written, though your sins be as scarlet, they should be as white as snow. Though they be red as like crimson, they should be as wool. Somebody says, but I'll lose my salvation. I'll lose the salvation after all. But Jesus said, I give unto my sheep eternal life. It is written. Someone says, if I sin after I'm saved, I can never be forgiven. But it is written. My little children, I write unto you that you sin not. But if you do sin, you have an advocate with the Father. Someone says, but death will terrify and destroy thee after all. But it is written, I'll never leave thee. I'll never forsake thee. Somebody says, heaven is too good to be true. But it is written, in my Father's house are many mansions. Someone says, but my soul will lie in the grave with a decaying body. But it is written, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Someone says, Jesus had been gone over 2,000 years. He will not come. It is just a myth. But it is written, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God shall sound. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and forever we shall be with the Lord. Somebody says, but the church has had its day. It'll go under. But it is written, hallelujah, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth forever. Hallelujah.
You got your Bible with you tonight? Hold it up. Wave it a little bit. Wave it a little bit. Amen. Hallelujah. I feel like saying this, the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. But I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. Hallelujah. Blessed be His name. Let's stand again. Amen. Sing me a little bit of them wonderful words alive, Brother Jim. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what this book is. It's the wonderful words of life. Amen. Blessed be His holy, righteous name tonight. I thank God for the preaching of the Word of God. You say, well, that's a doctrinal truth. Hallelujah. Bible preaching's doctrine set on fire. Camp meeting preaching is doctrine set on fire. Thank God for the preaching of the Bible, the Word of God. Sing it, Brother Jim.
Bring them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Christ the Blessed One gives to all wonderful words of life. Sinner, list to the loving call, wonderful words of life. All so freely given, wooing us to heaven. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Sweetly echo the gospel call, wonderful words of life. Offer pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of life. Jesus, holy Savior, sanctify forever. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words.
Sing that first verse again. I like it. It's my favorite.
Sweetly echo the gospel call, wonderful words of life. Offer pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of life.
Sing it, man.
Jesus, holy Savior, sanctify forever. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. That's Bible preaching. That's Holy Ghost preaching. Amen. Blessed be His good name. Well, it's hard to believe, but tomorrow night will be the last service of this first week of this 67th camp meeting. This dear precious man of God will be back with us in the service tomorrow night. I just wouldn't miss. I just wouldn't miss. Amen. Forget about going and eat fish. Come get a piece of meat. Come get a piece of the bread of life. Amen. Shake hands, you go. You're liberty. See you tomorrow.